Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. Hi, friends. I've been having a lot of fun today getting to know my new friend, Janice Morgan. Every so often I meet someone whose journey in some little way parallels mine, and I just find it so interesting. You may know if you've listened to this show that I wrote a book called Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And it was about how a lot of us get towards the edges of retirement or whatever you want to call it, because I think retirement's kind of a word that doesn't apply to a lot of us. But we hit that point in our late 50s, early 60s, maybe even 70, when we wonder, what is it that I really want to do? And maybe we say goodbye to the career that we've had that we've even loved for a long time, and we set forth on a new kind of journey. And so as Janice and I have been talking, I thought, dang, that's what she's been doing. And it's such an interesting one that I wanted to bring her to you. She had a 40-year career, is that right, Janice?
Yes, it is. Yes.
As a dental hygienist, working with a number of dentists in the Puget Sound area, and raising a family and staying pretty busy. And then at a certain point, she, and I'll say you now, decided to take up coaching and teach others how they could begin to transform their lives. So take me back to that point in time where you'd had this successful career. A lot of people in your shoes would say, I did it. Thank you very much. I'm going to retire to the island, whether it's Vashon or Hawaii or someplace like that, and just take it easy. But you actually decided to reinvent yourself, get trained as a coach, and begin a whole separate journey. So what was it? Take me back in time. What motivated you to do that?
It kind of caught me by surprise. Because like you say, you work your whole life, right? And then you have this dream of this retirement where you kind of sail off and do all these fun, cool things that you've put on the back burner. And my life took some changes going through the tail end of work and raising kids and empty nesters. And so there was a lot of challenges that came up. Anyway, when I hit 60, I told myself I was just going to start really saying yes to things. And my cousin took me to a live weekend event that I had no idea what it was going to be like. And that's where I really dove into the transformational work. And it moved me so much that I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Let's take a back up, because I think I know maybe mm-hmm. what transformational work is, but I'm not going to assume that everybody knows or that it's the same thing for us all. So tell me what that means.
Good question. Because I don't think it's the same for all of us either.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm finding out, it's really fun and exciting to talk about transformation. But once you start really doing the work to transform,
tell me,
it's hard sometimes. And I hate to use that word, but it takes a lot of rigor, right?
Yes.
There has to be commitment there. You have to have that desire. And so my life had changed so much. I was divorced, lost my home. We lost our business. My parents died. My kids were all moving out, moving on.
Ouch.
And you know, my husband and I reunited. We are together and our family is whole. That all worked out, right? But there was a lot of up and down.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of up and down. And there was a lot of guilt. There was some shame. There was some pissed offness. And so I was trying to refigure who I am. And I think nowadays everybody's talking about this identity crisis, right? Well, I had a major identity crisis, and it wasn't labeled that then. I didn't realize it.
And it came just at the time, because you said you were in your early 60s.
In my 50s when this happened.
50s. But that really is the moment mm-hmm. when a lot of us begin to say, what is it all about?
Yeah.
And is there more? And is this what I want? So your personal crisis and the age cycle thing kind of went together.
Yeah, I'm menopause, right? My poor boys, when they were teenagers, I was going through that. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of transition and a lot of growth. And I remember everybody saying, by the time you're 40, you don't care what anybody thinks about you anymore, right? Wrong. I mean, I'm in my 60s and I finally was like, okay, I can be myself, you know?
Yeah, and
I don't care as much.
As much. But you're still human.
I'm still human. And that's, okay, so that's what I really connected with when I went this weekend. We're a spiritual being having a human experience. And truly, it had me realize that everything that was required for my life to be how I wanted it, I had. And I locked onto that.
Mm.
And it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I came away feeling so much lighter, so much happier, more confident. And that was my first really big move into transformation. Like you and I talked about earlier with our little things that we did before in the late 80s and all that. But this one really stuck.
I can tell in your eyes.
Yeah.
They're gleaming.
Yeah.
It's because you can talk transformation, but I can see in your eyes that something real happened.
Yeah. I can get emotional about it because
I get that.
Was.
Yeah.
It was very impactful. And so I didn't sign up for coaching right away. I didn't get certified right away. I worked on myself. I went through this, it's called Brave Thinking Masters. And the person who delivers all of this information, her name is Mary Morrissey. And she trained with Wayne Dyer and, what's the other gentleman's name? Yeah, can't think of it. Les Brown. And so they all had this one mentor. Excuse me, need a Kleenex. Anyway, and so she studied for years with these gentlemen. And she was a minister. She was a psychologist. She always believed in the transformation and the universal laws.
Mary Morrissey. You talk past tense?
She's still around. She still leads this. She's talked at the UN. She's talked with, Dalai Lama? Amazing woman. Amazing faith. Amazing presence. Amazing positivity. And she just says, if you don't believe you can, believe that I believe you can.
Oh.
And she has quite a story. I could go into it, but I know that's probably another day. She's an author. It was just amazing. And I love it how she says, I have two black belts. One is success and one is failure. But it didn't stop her. And so that's the thing.
I love that. And I love that because sometimes people think if you're going to be successful, you have to just have the black belt of success.
Right.
But the people that I really listen to have mastered the black belt of failure because they understand something.
What's really interesting is nowadays we do not allow ourselves to feel any kind of shame, to feel any kind of failure, setback. It's like a disgrace instead of taking it as growth.
Totally.
This is what I learned. It didn't work this way. I made a mistake or it didn't work out how I thought. And what are the gold nuggets? And how can I do it better? Or is this really what I want to do?
Yeah.
You know, and there's that fine line between fear stopping you and going forward.
Yeah.
But you can over time learn to recognize those things.
And so you have to listen between what's the voice of fear saying you're too small, you can't do this. And the voice of intuition that says, this really isn't the right thing for you, and how to distinguish between those two.
And I think once we can really learn how to lean in and get quiet and listen, we will hear that voice more and more. There's so much chatter and chaos around us nowadays. We're pinged constantly with our phones and our TV and, you know, whatever, that oftentimes we don't get a chance to just sit and be and think. And decide and then get a plan, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's super important.
Yeah, it feels like that quiet sit time is definitely an endangered species right now.
When I was coming over this morning, I just kept saying, thank you so much for the sunshine this morning because I got on my bike and I rode here. And I hadn't done that in so many mornings. And I thought, this is what I retired for.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is it, you know?
Yeah. Fun fact, I'm talking today with Janice Morgan, who's a transformational coach, and happened to bike here to the studio from West Seattle. So if you don't get to see her in her orange bike attire, but she looks incredibly fit.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I said, I get the senior range. She goes, really? I was like, oh, thank you. I'll take that compliment this morning. Yeah, being outside just is my part of my meditation process.
Part of your meditation.
I walk a lot. I love to get out and just have silence and listen to the birds and the water. And
right.
It's lovely.
And you're also trying to bring some of the insights that have been so powerful for you mm-hmm. to others. And right. I know that you're offering some workshops at Tree of Life on Vashon.
Yes.
What do you hope to do with them? And FYI, folks, if it's too late to get into the workshop that she will have just done after this recording, contact her website, and I'll give you a link in the show notes. Let's say, how do people find you? Just as a side note, Janice.
Side note, my website is yesyoucan.com.
Yesyoucan.com.
Yes, you can.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, so back to what is it that you hope to do at the workshop?
At the workshop, my main reason for holding these is just to let people know there is possibility, there is more for them.
Yeah.
To let them be able to dream a little bit, give them permission to think, what would I love more of? What would I love less of? Recognize some of those old behaviors that keep them in safe land, right? Because it's scary to grow sometimes. And so to recognize those behaviors, give techniques to kind of move through them with them, and then actually be able to create something that they can do, an action step that they can take home with them.
Sweet. And and you'll do that in an hour workshop.
In an hour. Yeah.
Brilliant.
And,
Brilliant.
You know, there's plenty of time for Q&A and all that good stuff. So.
Yeah, because it can happen really quickly when you see what you want to do. Although implementation is a different
and
deal.
And that's it. So just to teach them that how to dream, because so many of us don't do that anymore, how to dream. Recognize when you're being held back, how to take a movement forward, and then know that it is possible that you have everything that is required for you to create exactly what you want, to have that belief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some of them will probably, you know, I'm not asking you to promote yourself. And at the same time, I would imagine that some would say, I really need a friend like Janice to be my coach, because it really helps sometimes to have that person who's outside of you, mm-hmm. outside of your emotion, outside of any trauma and story that you're carrying, who knows that you can.
And that's exactly right. Everybody can, but it's like your New Year's resolutions. If you don't have someone to be accountable to, then it's easy to let it slide. That's why the workout buddies were so great, right?
Yeah.
The walking buddies, any kind of a buddy system.
Right.
It's having that accountability. And when you fall down and don't think you can get back up, that person does.
That's
that person holds that belief for you when you can't hold it yourself.
It's so great. For 15 years, I've had a creative buddy, creative mentor. I mean, we're peer mm-hmm. mentors to each other. And really the deal is when you fall in the hole, I'll stay out and pull you out. Because I know you'll do the same for me.
Exactly.
It's very mutual.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know, one of the things, I did a lot of transformational work in the 80s, but it feels like times have changed. And now there's so much system-wide stress and noise mm-hmm. and speed and fear about the future that I don't think I experienced back in the 80s and 90s. Do you think that's affecting people today?
Yes, I absolutely do. And here's a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yes.
All the water in the world can't drown me if I don't let it in.
Mm.
So yeah, there's a lot of chatter out there. Only let in what you want to let in.
Right.
And it goes back to, what are your beliefs? How do you want to think? How do you want to be?
Right.
And so it's easy to get caught up in the hustle bustle of now with everything, like I just said, everything shooting at you all day long, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of angst in the world. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of anger. And the lines are getting drawn. And instead of people coming together to be a coherent society, it feels like it's being torn apart.
Yes.
So there's a decision to be made. How do you want to show up?
Mm-hmm.
I do that in the mornings. I do my gratitudes and I think, how do I want to be today? What is my day going to look like? What, there's a Joe Dispenza who I do some retreats with and study with. He always asks, he says, do you believe that you are the creator of your own world? And he says, how many of you created a world this morning for your day today? And nobody raised their hand. Then he says, well, the reason why you don't do that is because you really don't believe you can.
Ah.
So that belief has to be really solid within,
mm-hmm.
because that helps you make those decisions. That helps you think those thoughts that actually back that up.
Can you give me an example of where you've had to struggle with a belief that you held? You know, I don't want to put expose you, but it's also useful because a lot of times we can go and say, sounds good, Janice, but, you know, how does it really work?
How does it really work? I said yes to you today.
That was a big one for me.
It's like, they're going to record me and put me on the radio. People are going to listen to my voice. Oh, my God, what if I mess up? All this chatter, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I bet she knows way more than I know. Oh, my God, what if I do something really stupid and I, you know, everybody hears it? And on the way here, I'm telling myself, this is serendipity. This is, I am meeting her for a reason. We got put together because there's a connection somehow. Somebody that I'm going to be talking to is going to want to hear what I have to say. I know my stuff. This is right. I feel good about that. You know, I'm talking myself up. These are the belief systems that we want to tell ourselves.
Right.
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 Yesterday or one day this week, I was in a class and my coach said, let's do an exercise. Let's journal about what you have been thinking about just the last hour. Just journal about that. And I thought, okay. And I thought, what have I been thinking about? And it took a minute, right? And then I started thinking about what I had just thought about and connecting the dots backwards. What I realized is that I have a lot of negativity going on in my head without knowing it. Because I really think I'm a pretty positive person and I like to portray and think positive and all that good stuff. So it really was an awareness of my thought pattern.
I love that you're saying that and sharing. And thank you for sharing because, you know, sometimes I think we have this model of enlightenment where we quell all the voices.
Mm-hmm.
But I think down here on the planet, at least in my life, the way it works is that I'm always going to have that voice that says, what are you thinking?
Yes.
And, you know, I'm grappling with something where for my 75th birthday, I want to have a dance party and I want to dance in front of people. And I put that out into the universe and then immediately the voice came up and said, oh, that is the vainest, horriblest, terriblest. You're not going to have the energy. You're not going to be able to. I mean, it's just like an onslaught. And so to be able to say, thank you for sharing, but I choose not to listen to you because I really want to do this and I'm committed and I think it'll be really fun. But just to know that we have to be the master of the conversation because those voices are not likely to go away.
No, you have to control them. You have to tame them.
Tame them?
Because they're from forever.
Yes.
All our life experiences are stored.
Yeah.
And our subconscious brain reacts that fast.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm interested. You also, you know, I know you're doing the workshop at the Tree of Life on Vashon. You've also worked with Dennis, which was your old field. Or
I have coached a little bit in the dental realm.
I can imagine that would be incredibly useful to be able to work with a group of people who are working together or are in a field like that. How was it to be back in your own?
It was very interesting. the dynamics of an office. And the one I worked with had a lot of walls up between the different positions, which was a little bit of a challenge at first. I came from the office I retired from was pretty magical, actually. We all got along so well and we just jumped in and helped. And it's kind of like what you were telling me about your office where you go. Mm-hmm. You know, the energy there was so positive and really friendly. And so this one was a little bit more in depth to get the people to really understand the roles and how they all bring such gifts to it and how everybody, they can't do it without each other. Right. Mm-hmm. And so to really think of it as a family or a team. And so that was really interesting.
Beautiful.
But it was great. It was really great.
Beautiful. Because I would imagine, you know, I used to do a lot of organizational consulting and another way to put it is that those voices exist in a team or a group of people, all those voices about, you know, I don't like her, I don't like him, they're not doing it the way I'm doing it, you know, you can count up all the negative because it will be there. But the great teams who somehow have an opportunity or a way of transcending that and saying, yes, and I see her strength. Yes. And yes, and this is where we're going together and it's really positive. And yeah, you know, they have that, yes, I can.
Yes, yes.
As a team, but it doesn't mean that they're not human either. You
exactly.
know?
And the other thing that I found out is this intergenerational dynamic
Ooh.
That comes in.
Yeah.
Because you still have a couple boomers, you know, and then you got your Gen X and then you got the millennials and they communicate different and they see things different.
Tell me, give me an example of that.
So one of the she was an assistant and she says, oh, I multitask. I said, well, you know, it's been proven, you know, I'm coming at it from a boomers, right? It's been proven that when you multitask, you really don't do everything quite as well as you think you do.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, no, I'm in my zone when I'm doing that. Well, it turns out, yeah, she was. That's probably she was from the generation that can really multitask better than any other generation. And it was an eye-opener to me. Some like to text. Some wants an email. Some wants a verbal conversation. My favorite thing is to pick up a phone and actually talk to an office, where a lot of the Gen X, as I think it was, they prefer email. It's more streamlined. So it's how you communicate.
Yeah. And then some, I had somebody I was dealing with and so mad that they weren't communicating with me. And finally, after all this, you know, really, really painful stuff, somebody said, she just texts. You should have texted her. Mm-hmm. I went, she's a horse trainer.
Yeah.
She's out working the horse. Nope. She texts. Yeah. That's her way of doing it. I went, okay, bad on me. Yeah. I would have done the phone and email thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't do phone and email.
I remember when my kids were in high school and I would call them on their cell phone, right?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't answer. And I'd send them a text, boom, right away.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But that's a good, I don't know, warning or just something to tuck away that we all communicate differently. And part of communication is knowing how you want to receive information,
exactly.
Not just how I want to give it.
Be open to learning about the other person and how that works for them too.
Yeah.
And so that was a big thing. When you're working in a team,
right.
What are the other people needing? Well, they want to feel valued. They want to be respected. They want to know that they make a difference. Right,
right.
And so all of that came up. And it's really just about showing up and being the best person that you can and paying it forward in any way without having to have that recognition.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to have that help right back.
I would add, too, that I think just having a little bit of compassion for each other in this time because... You know, just like that really awful period in your life you briefly described where everything was falling apart in a short period. People do go through stuff like that. And I think sometimes the level of stress that people are living with right now, given all the uncertainty in the world, it's pretty hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sometimes find myself, I'm just anxious. I don't even know why I'm anxious. And then, yes, in my optimal world, I would sit and meditate at that point and readdress my, but mostly I just also have to say, yes, you are. Okay. So be it, you know, and then I can make a shift or something like that. And to have some grace with other people.
There's something that I teach and it's called notice what you're noticing.
Ah.
And so periodically throughout the day, mm-hmm. if you can notice how you're feeling
mm-hmm.
and if you like that or not, right? Mm-hmm. Like you were just saying, sometimes you can feel that anxiousness. So you can check in with yourself. And when you're feeling that anxiousness, you can think, well, what have I been thinking? What's going on? How do I want that to be? And then you can do a little bit of breath work to just calm your nervous system down and check in and get your heart coherence back.
Mm-hmm.
Regulate instead of being dysregulated.
Did you do heart math?
I'm almost done with my certification in the heart math.
Because those are words that heart math uses.
Yeah.
Let's translate them for people because not everybody, I actually get confused with some of the heart math.
It's easy to get confused because they have a lot of different little techniques that are so similar,
yeah,
right?
And regulated, dysregulated, heart
so
variability. And
dysregulation. When you are in fight, flight, or freeze, when you are feeling anxious, overwhelmed, fear, stress, all that's playing on your nervous system. It's shooting out. It goes from your heart to your head to your emotions to your hormones to the chemicals being secreted in your body.
Yeah.
And if you're constantly living in that zone, your body is constantly getting fed cortisol and all those horrible things that keep you ready to move, ready to protect yourself, right? And that's when you start getting breakdown, you're dysregulated. So if you can pause, do some breath work, meditate, take a walk, maybe go exercise for, you know, do something to break that cycle, you can, with HeartMath, it's a breathing technique. And you focus on your heart, and then you breathe into your heart, and then you bring to mind something that you are grateful for. And as you do this, your breathing gets more calm, and your nervous system gets more regulated. You're in the parasympathetic instead of the sympathetic. Your body is releasing different chemicals and hormones. It's releasing oxytocin, I think it is. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I know. We got to get our oxygen right.
It's all the good ones, the DHEA, the good one. You know. So your body is calming down. Your nervous system is calming down. Your heart is calming down. And you are feeling like you can breathe, like mm-hmm. you can think, like you're you again.
Yeah.
The true you.
This is great. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I think the HeartMath system, which has been well tested and well studied.
Very documented.
I mean, just what you just gave us, it's so simple. It's just take a break, breathe, and then allow yourself to sink into a memory of something that's yes. positive and good, that you like, that relaxes you. And then to watch, and they will monitor that. You can actually hook up and get monitored.
I have one.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And see your heart rate mm-hmm. will actually begin to shift. Plus, you'll feel a lot better.
Yes.
So I think we all need to have a little toolbox, mm-hmm. a little arsenal of, I call them quick fixes. I mean, I don't want to denigrate them, but it's the things that we can do in the moment when we're going into that place where we're dysregulated and we're not feeling very good.
Right.
You know,
so to be in coherence is when everything is lined up to support the natural you.
Yes.
Yes. A tip, if you're struggling to find something to feel grateful for.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to go way back. There was a person who was going through health challenges.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to feel more healthy and alive and dynamic and energetic.
Right.
She couldn't picture it. And so they kept going back and back and back. And she remembers when she was a child, there was a horse that lived across the street.
Aww.
And they would just run and play. And she felt so alive then. So sometimes you have to go back to really get a good feeling if you've been down for a long time. So just really think about, everybody has something that they brings them happiness.
Yeah. And then I know for myself, because I do think the world is crazy right now, but I'll take a walk and I'll just go on my own property, go, the Madrona is so star-studded beautiful. It is, and the wind is cool, and this is just gorgeous. And I try and even say that to myself, because I just want to kind of embed it or imprint it, because I know the other is going to be there. I'll turn on NPR, and in 5 minutes I'll hear what, you know, that we started bombing again or whatever. And so just to say, but I had my moment with the Madrona and it was beautiful, helps me, you know.
That is perfect, because yes, you can not like what's going on.
Yeah.
Yes, it can hurt your heart that these people are suffering. And you can still not let it get you down so that you are depressed, so that you are feeling unhopeful, right?
Right. Right.
You do exactly what you just did. You go out and you see some of the beauty in your own space.
Yeah.
And give yourself some love, because how are you going to be helpful? You can only change yourself and the people that you come in contact with to
right.
show what you believe.
Yeah. Thich Nhat Hanh, the wonderful Vietnamese monk, mm-hmm. used to say, he actually had a story about the boats of the Vietnamese who were escaping Vietnam. And he said that one calm person mm-hmm. would change everything on a boat.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's great. Because sometimes we think, well, so no big deal. You know, is this selfish? I'm taking time to calm. But isn't that a beautiful metaphor that in these really stormy times we're going through, that just calming ourselves and allowing the people around us to feel that is actually quite major.
I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm talking with Janice Morgan, who is a transformational life coach and is also doing workshops here on Vashon. If people want to find out more about you or your workshop, which hopefully will be held on August, what's the date?
Currently, it's the 21st, but stay tuned.
Stay tuned because people should contact you, right?
Yes, that would be great.
Register their interest, and you know, maybe if that date doesn't work for you, there'll be another one coming up, and people can find about it, or even worst case, jump the pond and go to West Seattle.
My email is janice@yesyoucanlifecoach.com.
I love that. Janice@yesyoucanlifecoach.com. I mean, I love that phrase. I love that phrase. I mean, I think when Obama was running for president, I think that phrase, it was yes, we can. I think that was his. Mm-hmm. It was like an infusion of positivity. So you picked a brilliant name for your business.
Thank you so much.
And thank you. Now, I didn't know because personally, I don't think I'm that intimidating, but I know that it doesn't really matter because the gremlins inside your mind hadn't even met me. And so they were having a heyday. And so thank you so much for saying yes anyway.
Oh, thank you.
And trusting and coming here because it's been a delight to talk to you. And I hope people will check out what you do and also explore the possibility of one of your workshops on the island.
That would be fabulous. And Sally, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed today. You're amazing.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.